Cape Talk.
The Open Line. Call 021-446-0567.
You know, the one thing that really got me thinking, especially during this lockdown period, all the fears about the economy, all the fears about whether businesses are going to make it, you know, how very poor people in some of the most densely populated areas in the Western Cape and the country are going to make ends meet and also do the right type of social distancing. And then I compare that with a story that I saw on businesstech.co.za, where a lot of these telco companies publish the salaries that their CEOs earn. You know, Telkom published their annual salaries or their annual report for 2019, that financial year, and that revealed how much the chief executive was paid. Now, Sipho Maseko ended the year with 23.2 million rand, that was his paycheck, comprising a guaranteed salary of 8.3 million and a bonus of 7 million and a vested share payout of 5.3 million. So, you know, I mean, that makes it up, and you know, that's a lot of money. It's lowest. That's actually the lowest pay amongst the mobile operators, behind Vodacom CEO Shameel Joosub, who we had on the show not too long ago, and MTN Group CEO Rob Shooter. Now, for the financial year end March 2019, Joosub saw his total package decrease by 24% in 2019 compared to the prior year, taking home a final tax paycheck of 58.3 million rand. That was down from 50.3 million rand the year before. All right? Now, I don't begrudge any of these CEOs their salaries, but I'm not done yet. MTN CEO Rob Shooter was the highest earner amongst the mobile operators, taking home a total salary of 42.92 million, including a basic salary of 15.28 million and bonuses and other benefits exceeding 26 million. Now, obviously, these people are not going to be affected by what this country is facing. And they work, I'm sure, very hard for the money that they earn. But it certainly brings into very sharp focus that Gini coefficient, the gap between those who have and those who don't. And I'm really thinking that moving forward, and I'm glad, for example, the Oppenheimers, I'm very happy the Motsepes as well, have put some of their billions into fighting coronavirus. But imagine those billions could be used to help build more businesses in South Africa and make this economy strong. On COVID-19 and the lockdown, we've seen absolute decisiveness, you know, pristinely orchestrated and put together by the South African government. Well done on them. But when it comes to the economy, we see dithering. We see, oh no, we need to speak to the broader church. So while a handful of people, and it's probably much less than the hand, right, in context of your whole body, while a handful of people are taking away hundreds of millions of rands, the majority of people in this country are suffering. And I really think it's time we look at capitalism and we revisit capitalism. I believe capitalism is the only thing that works, but we need to add a social conscience to it. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. Bigger businesses creating opportunities. And when I spoke to, was it the Consumer Goods Council, the head of legal, about two days ago, the one thing I said was, okay, so you've got Pick and Pay, you've got ShopRite, you've got Woolies. How many of them actually create spaces for entrepreneurs other than, you know, bringing in stock and people buying it, et cetera, and they make their markups and whatever? Actually creating little businesses within those retailers. So, for example, if you're near the Boer Kaap, a ShopRite Checkers or Pick and Pay there should maybe have a Boer Kaap resident who maybe sells food from her house, bring them into that particular store to make home-baked food. And that is what I mean by creating opportunities. No one's saying just hand your wealth away. But what I'm saying is create opportunities and create space for people who've got aptitude and attitude so that they can grow their businesses. So if ShopRite could do that, if Pick and Pay could do more of that, if Woolies can do more of that, if our forecourts, our engines, our Astrons, you name it, can do that, then we start assisting the micro businesses and we give them, because they're going to hire two or three people to run those particular operations. I don't know what your thoughts are. I really think we can't go about capitalism the way we have. And I believe that there needs to be some type of social conscience attached to that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying rich people shouldn't have their money. Let them have their money. But let the businesses who make those hundreds of millions and billions also assist smaller businesses on the ground. Maybe your business is one of those. Maybe you're doing a lot more than people see from the outside. Maybe you work for one of the big brands I mentioned. I'd love you to call in this morning. That to me has always been a big bugbear. And it just becomes, the reality becomes so stark when you're faced with a situation like this, where the people who do make the money are able to go home, stock up for a month, buy out Woolworths. I don't know, Joe, can you buy out Woolworths? I can't, but you buy out Woolworths, and you're comfortable. So if there's a two-month lockdown, you can afford that. Whereas the person who lives in Khayelitsha or Mitchell's Plain has to go day by day, has to wonder if they're still going to have bread, never mind the stuff that goes on the bread at the end of the day. So just your thoughts on that. And then generally, anything else you'd like to talk about. We need to have some tough conversations in this country. Let's go to Kevin in Birkfleet. Hi there, Kevin.
Yes, the only way you're going to be able to regulate business and put some kind of controls on these individuals, these high net worth individuals, is by taxing them. And again, there's a globalized movement, not just here in South Africa, but where they're trying to avoid paying taxes. And if you look at the coalition between the correlation between the coronavirus and greed and treachery, it's big business on every level, especially in the United States.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure whether we've had the discussion around tax, right? But my challenge with taxing.
We have.
I'm sure we have. My challenge with taxing the rich is that it goes into a fiscus that has to be allocated by politicians. And a businessman said to me, if the economy was a virus and our president acted on the economy the way he acted on COVID-19, we'd probably be in a better shape. So I'm not sure whether taxing them is maybe the solution. If you're reading, Kevin, is that the money that goes into the fiscus will then help other businesses. But if we say, okay, you have X amount of tax, we will give you a tax break if you create X amount of micro entrepreneurs within your supply chain, but you have a target. If you don't meet that target, then your tax goes up a notch. If you meet the target, you get a tax break for that. The benefit for the country, I think, would be a lot more, surely.
To a certain degree, I agree with you, but it all comes down to, again, which comes first, the chicken and egg, and it still has to go back to, high net worth individuals should be paying more taxes. As far as politicians, a lot of these politicians are basically bought off by high net worth individuals to begin with, before they even get elected. And what we need to do is have government finance elections, so they're not doing all these fundraisers and all this nonsense.
The whole thing with, and the DA is the same as the ANC, etc. They were one of the ones saying, well, we don't want anybody to see who gives us the money, but we need to know. And even that system of, private businesses supporting political parties, I mean, that needs to stop. So I agree with you there.
Okay. Yeah, because in Scandinavia, go back to them again.
Yeah.
Political parties are supported by the government, and they have a 6-point of elections.
Mm.
2 or 3 months around election time, they take a break from governing, and go campaign. And then it's done.
Yep. Well, Kevin in Birkfleet, some interesting thoughts there. Maybe you'd like to respond to that. Maybe you'd like to respond to some of what I had to say as well. You certainly can. The numbers to dial, 021-446-0567, and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. Everybody looks at government, and I think rightfully so, to create the right environment for businesses to grow in. But what about the corporates? And I was having a chat, and she'll be joining us on air sometime this week, Kerry Kennedy. She is the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy, and her husband is the current governor. And I've managed to befriend her over the last couple of years. And we were talking about this the other day, and she said, Kino, on SMS, she said, Kino, I'm sitting here, and I'm in isolation, and I can afford to be in isolation. And she's a human rights activist. She said, can you think about whether it's people in the prison waiting for the virus to come, people sitting in poorer communities waiting for the virus to come, and the reason why they're in that position? I mean, there are a myriad of reasons globally. But she says we need to get them out of that position. And it's not just government that does that. It is also business. Anyway, let's move on to something else. I've got Adrian in Weinberg. Hello.
Hi, Kino.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm not up there with the corporates and all the high.
No. Don't worry about that. We can talk about anything.
I have an old bell that's been rung several times, I'm sure. It's about dogs, our animals. I am in such a stressful situation. I can tolerate the lockdown, no issue, no problem at all. But every day I'm afforded such immense stress. I have a dog who lived on the street for years. She will not do her business in my yard at all, and she's in a very bad way. And so I am actually forced to sneak her out of my yard, take her to a completely private, isolated place, let her do her business, and then bring her home. And I am forced to feel like a criminal. And I find it absolutely incredible. I see people over the place, around the place, hiding an old lady yesterday, running her Alsatian in the middle of built-up Claremont. It's really scary. I pray about it every time I go out. Please, Lord, keep me safe, because I don't want my dog to be taken away. I don't want to be thrown in prison, beaten, or arrested for something. But I actually have to do this every day, because we who have animals, especially the rescued ones, not especially the rescued ones.
You see, now, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. I've been saying, oh, no, keep your dogs inside. Now, there are circumstances that surround
these creatures are going to go insane. They need, however small, they need some olfactory stimulation. They need to smell a little bit here and there. They need to do a poo and a pee and come back inside. And I drove down Weinberg Main Road yesterday, and there were loads of people just standing around as if there was nothing going on, you know, hanging about on street corners and all that stuff. And I think to myself, here I am, hiding away in a completely private park. There were some areas where, you know, one is able to go, where you don't see a soul. But I'm constantly stressed to beyond belief, because I realize I'm breaking a regulation. Can you in any way speak to your guest, see if there can be any amendment to this? I mean,
I will chat to General Lincoln when I chat to him.
Yes.
Okay, well, he'll join me in about, 10, 15 minutes from now. I'll put it to him, Adrian.
I'll be listening.
I think we also need to be compassionate as well, and they are genuine. So some people are just blinking chances, right?
I mean, walking with your family on the beach.
No, 100%.
You know what I mean?
So I understand your situation, and I'll put it to the General and see what he says about it.
Please do. Can they not look at amending it just to the smallest degree? You know, I'm out there with not a soul around.
Yeah, that obviously sits with the national ministers, but he deals with them directly. So let's see what General Lincoln has to say about that, Adrian.
Okay, maybe he's got a compassionate side to him for
Adrian in Weinberg. Now, it's not an easy position to be in. Regulations are regulations, but then what do you do if you're in that situation? Let's go to Meryl. Meryl's in Edgemead. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Kenneth.
Hello.
I just want to thank the Buddhist Clinic.
Yes.
They came to my front door and dropped off my medication.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
It was so unbelievable that they would do that. It was fantastic.
This is good news. We need a bit of good news, eh?
Yeah, I tell you, that's so nice. I don't think we're doing it to everybody, all the elderly people.
Yeah.
But they did it for me. And just when I came to the door, I said, thank you. I mean, I was able to get a lift, you know, and things like that. But it was so nice of them.
Oh, I love it. Listen, I thank you for the call. We need a bit of a smile as well. And I think this is also the time where the humanity behind certain people actually comes out. Other people are shown up for who they are. And while I was saying, oh, these people earn a lot of money, we've seen the Motsepes. We've seen the supposed, I don't believe the EFF's rubbish, the minority capitalists. Right. We've seen them give billions. What happened to some of the VBS money? Are they still holding on to it and running around with their Louis Vuitton bags and their fancy cars? I wonder how much money Dalian Porfu has donated to all of this. And I think times like these show up who the actual scoundrels are. But let's just say it as it is.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567. Hey, Cape Talk. I'm just listening to this lady who's called in about the dogs. We've also got a dog. He's a puppy. He's got lots of energy. And we've had to keep him inside. And we'd much prefer to take him for a walk. But how do you police it? That's the problem. South Africans are so good with the loophole. And if we say, cool, you can take a dog for a 15-minute walk, who's policing 15 minutes? You know, I could take my dog for 2-3 hours in the mountain and, you know, run into friends. And not that I would do that, but I'm just saying it's a very difficult thing to police. So I agree with her, but what's the solution?
Yeah, and that is the question, isn't it? Because how do you then police? Unless you go to a vet who then has to write you a letter and states that the dog has to be taken out. And oh, anyway. It is not
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
Your time now, 28 minutes to 10. What is on your mind? And I listened to Adrian, who called in and spoke about her dog, and I just listened to that voice note that came in saying, yeah, we understand that the dog is not trained to, you know, poo in the backyard, et cetera, and maybe the dog needs to go for a walk. But there is the other question. How does one actually police that? And doesn't it, if you start making concessions for everybody, then surely it's going to make policing hell, quite frankly, and he's right. I think the caller says South Africans will find a loophole. Once again, in the Sunningdale area yesterday on Sunningdale Neighbours, there was some doofus jogging in a black top, grey whatever tights. And please let me say this, and I never call people idiots, but what an idiot. It'll be the first and the last time you hear me say that. But what an idiot. When you know you're supposed to be in lockdown and your biggest priority is to get on the road and go for a jog. I mean,